In good King Charles's golden days, when loyalty had no harm in't, a zealous high church man I was, and so I got preferment. To teach my flock I never missed, kings are by God appointed, and damned are those who do desist and touch the Lord's anointed. When royal James possessed the crown and popery came in fashion, the penal laws I hooted down and read the declaration. The Church of Rome I found would fit full well my constitution, and had become a Jesuit but for the revolution. And this is the law I will maintain until my dying day, sir, that whatsoever king shall reign, I'll be the Vicar of Bray, sir. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today, I would like to talk about why it is that some intelligent people tend to conform to whatever the dominant worldview is at any given time, and some intelligent people don't. Obviously, I'm aware that the viewers I have on the Jolly Heretic, the drinkers here at the Jolly Heretic Public House, are a very intelligent bunch of people, but they tend not to conform. So why is it that that so many of them tend to conform into the woke brigade or whatever? We can't deny they're extremely intelligent. What is going on? Why do some intelligent people conform and some people don't? Well, I've in consultation with the squire of the Jolly Heretic village in which the Jolly Heretic is based, I've come up with a bit of an idea. So, very interesting paper that was published in 2015 by Michael Woodley of Manee and Curtis Dunkel, and it was a response to my own critique, actually, and it was evidence for what's called the cultural mediation hypothesis. And the idea is that intelligent people tend to be intellectual conformers overall. What they tend to do is they tend to sniff the air, they tend to realise what the dominant worldview is. They are intelligent enough to understand the benefits of conforming to that worldview. And so through a process of effortful control, they force themselves to believe in and to accept that dominant worldview. Now, once they've done that, they, of course, need to attain status among all the other people that have that worldview. And so what they will do is they will play for status by pushing, let's say, a left-wing worldview that's focused on the values of equality and harm avoidance, as opposed to the right-wing values of group orientation, obedience to the group, and sanctity. They will signal by pushing that view in a slightly more, let's say, left-wing direction. Now, in doing so, they will signal their intelligence to a moderate degree, because they will come up with interesting new ideas. So if everyone accepts homosexuality, they might start pushing in favour of the rights of transsexuals. And through superficially logical arguments, and so in that way they will signal their intelligence. But in a way, they will also signal they will therefore slightly critique the dominant worldview, but they won't do so to such an extent that it seems like they are dissenters, or that it rocks the boat and it causes a backlash, from the right, and causes problems for their fellow travellers. So they will therefore, once the worldview is left wing, they will signal that they are slightly more left wing than the last man, and through that you get runaway individualism. So that's the general process. Now, they use effortful control, which intelligent people have more of. They have more self-control, more control over their own thoughts, more impulse control, in order to achieve this. Now, the paper that was published by Michael Woodley of Manee and Curtis Dunkel showed that among young people, among a sample of children, people become more liberal with age. So at a very young age, where children can't be expected to understand what's going on, there is no IQ difference between those that have sort of liberal views and those that have conservative views. As they get older, the IQ difference opens up, and the more intelligent children become increasingly liberal compared to the less intelligent children. And so what this is showing is that the more intelligent children are better perceiving what the dominant worldview is, and they are more likely to imbibe that dominant worldview and force themselves to believe it. So in general, intelligence does seem to predict social conformity, and that would explain why wokeness comes out of the upper middle class, why it is that those that are involved in academia and all of these are so woke, because they are intelligent, and intelligent people are going to engage in this process of conforming to the dominant ideology and using it as a state, as a means of attaining status themselves by pushing it in a slightly more left-wing or, depending on the context, right-wing direction. So what about those that will not conform to this? What kind of people would we have there? Well, first of all, you're simply going to have people who are non-conformists, who are psychologically, low IQ, they don't absorb the dominant ideology, they don't have the capacity, the mental capacity to force themselves to believe these things, the effortful control, and so therefore they have what we might call instinctive beliefs. And indeed I've argued in a paper that I'll put a link to below that people that are more intelligent are in many ways less instinctive. They are more able to control their instincts and to reason away their instincts, because part of intelligence is solving cognitive problems, and solving cognitive problems involves the ability to not act instinctively, to not act with your gut reaction, and therefore to be open to non-instinctive possibilities, to unusual possibilities, and this allows you to better solve cognitive problems. So you would expect people that were more intelligent to be attracted to non-instinctive ways of thinking, such as atheism or whatever, to be better able to suppress their instincts in favour of purely reasoning. So that's one thing. The second thing would be just psychological factors. So people that were just high in psychopathic personality traits, for example, those kinds of people would tend to always not conform, because they like not conforming, they like the danger of not conforming. They're evolved to an unstable, dangerous ecology in which they enjoy not conforming, and they enjoy upsetting people, basically. So those kinds of people are not going to conform. And if they combine that with high intelligence, then you would expect them to become influential and to be influential dissidents. So that's the second kind of person that's not going to conform. You might get some people that are highly mentally unstable, and because they're highly mentally unstable, they're intense individualists. They don't trust anybody. They don't trust those in positions of authority. They only care about themselves, and they want to have power over people, and this is about anybody, including those in positions of power, and so they won't conform to anything either. They might be extreme right wing, or more likely, because they're individualists and they have no group orientation, extreme left-wing to an extent that upsets even a left-wing society. So it's via people like Antifa or whatever. They won't conform, and they could still be highly intelligent. Another group that won't conform would simply be those perhaps with outlier high intelligence, because it's been shown that having very extreme outlier high intelligence is associated with autistic traits. Now, people that are autistic are obsessed with order and obsessed with systematizing and obsessed with truth. And this is associated with very high intelligence, because if you are obsessed with order and systematizing and truth, then you will be more motivated to, and thus you will be better at solving extremely difficult cognitive problems because of your obsession with truth and whatever. And you will also you will be able to put empathy aside. It's been shown by Simon Baron Cohen that autism and empathy are opposite ends of a spectrum. So people that are highly, very, very autistic, obsessed with systematizing, are very low in empathizing. They don't care about people's feelings, and they're not very good at reading or understanding people's feelings. So some people will see that the correct answer will offend people, and thus they will force themselves to not believe or accept the correct answer. Autistics won't do that. They will always want the correct answer, and this will help them to solve cognitive problems, and they will come to the empirically correct conclusion and advocate that conclusion, even if it upsets people. And so you can see how that would be associated with doing better on intelligence tests. So you get those kinds of people. Now, those kinds of people, because they are low in empathy, which means they don't care about offending other people, they just care about the truth, they will critique the current dispensation, whatever it is, whether it is a right-wing worldview or a left-wing worldview. So you've got the autistic type people as well, the outlier high IQ people. And then there's a final group, and this is something that that's new, that I was thinking about only yesterday, and that's this. One of the things that is associated with intelligence is future orientation. So people that have low IQ, they tend to live in the now. People that are more intelligent, they can think about the future. They can conceive of a winter's day at the height of summer and make plans accordingly. They are future-oriented. A good example of this is the so-called marshmallow test, where children who have low IQ, if you offer them a marshmallow now or two marshmallows, if they wait 5 minutes, then the low IQ children will always take the marshmallow now. They live in the now, whereas high IQ people live in the future. So one possibility is that people with slightly higher IQ than those that socially conform will think to themselves, will not just smell the air now,
correctly and conform to the current dispensation now, they will be able to work out what the dominant worldview will be like a few decades hence. And they will accept persecution in the now, unpleasantness now, for a reward a decade or so hence, because they will understand that they will be able to correctly understand from the available data that things are going to change, and a decade or so hence there will be a new dispensation. And they will understand that if they are at the vanguard of that new dispensation, they will receive a higher socioeconomic and social reward than if they are not at the vanguard of that dispensation. And so they will accept being persecuted now and being outsiders now and being excluded now for a reward 10 years or so in the future. That's what you might expect more intelligent people to do. And if you look at the evidence of how these things tend to work, what you tend to have is the current dispensation now, it's being challenged by highly intelligent people and non-conformist people. And once those people reach about 20, the evidence indicates, I'll give you a citation below, about 20% of the population, then they reach a critical mass and they reach a kind of tipping point, and people start to accept that this is the up and coming worldview. This is going to be the future. They lose faith in the current dispensation and they migrate very quickly over to what they see as the up and coming powerful dispensation. And so therefore societies will tend to flip very quickly. And this is what you see in the 1960s. You have in the 50s a conservative society. By the early 60s, a critical mass of like individualists who believe in hippie values or whatever, and individualism and the good of the self has been reached. And then society flips over very quickly at great speed as people migrate towards what they correctly regard as the up-and-coming worldview. And you would expect the less intelligent to be slower to understand that that was happening and to be slower to migrate. And so there would be a period in which the more intelligent would be subject to persecution from, let's say, the right-wing society because they had very early flipped over to the new intellectual regime. But those people would then receive the greater reward. They would be the vanguard of that new system, and they would be very, very high up and important in the new system after it flipped over. So you actually might expect more intelligent people to do that. Now, I did a paper a while ago on the concept of the clever sillies, and I noticed I distinguished between the clever silly originators and the clever silly followers. The clever silly originators, they come up with the new idea, and in doing so, they are dissidents, and so they take a risk. That's nothing. They have to be intelligence plus risk, plus being a risk taker, would really predict this. So they come up with this massive, amazing idea, these highly intelligent people, and they take a substantial intellectual risk for a massive payoff. The clever, silly followers who subsequently follow them with their, you know, the leftist idea or the religious idea or whatever it happens to be, those people take a much smaller risk because they're conforming once the new system is instantiated for a much smaller payoff. So one distinguishing thing here could be intelligence, that the clever, silly followers are less intelligent. They don't come up with original ideas. They merely take the new idea and add a little bit on the end. They're less intelligent. And so they get into the Ponzi scheme, as we might call it, later on in the game. The more intelligent people, they get in early. They realise the system is collapsing. They come up with their new brilliant idea. They get persecuted and whatever. They take the risk. And then they are triumphant. They have the intelligence to come up with the original, the brilliant idea, the new system. And then they get persecuted. But they get the massive reward in the end of elevated social status. And in prehistory, this would have been elevated genetic chances because social status was correlated with passing on your genes. That's the motivation for wanting social status, ultimately. So that would be the difference. So what you could imagine is a different Vicar of Bray. The song that I was referring to at the beginning was the Vicar of Bray, which is a song about a vicar in Bray in Berkshire who went through these different periods of religious change, and every time he just was totally unscrupulous. He just abandoned his principles in order to stay the Vicar of Bray. So he's the ultimate example of a social conformist. But somebody that was perhaps reasonably intelligent, but somebody that was more ambitious than the Vicar of Bray would have been very different. He would have been ahead of the game every time, and therefore he would have been Catholic towards the end of the reign of Charles II, understanding that Charles was going to die, and therefore he would have been promoted from being vicar under James. And here he would have been, the archdeacon of Bray. And then at the end of James's reign, he would have understood what the future was going to be, and therefore would have been persecuted a little bit. But then when the next regime came in, when it was William and Mary and Protestantism, he would have perhaps have been Bishop of Bray, and so on. And that was what the more intelligent person would have done. So when we ask ourselves, why is it that we have these differences in conformity and non-conformity, the midwit and the more intelligent person, I suspect a big part of it is simply elevated intelligence. People that are more intelligent will sense what the future is going to be, and being future-oriented, they will take the financial and social hit now for the greater reward in the future. So, as this is the law, I will maintain until my dying day, sir, that whatsoever king shall reign, I'll be the vicar of Bray, sir. And goodbye!